There's a lawbreaker on the loose this morning. Yes, a lawbreaker. He's broken the law left and right. What are we going to do with this lawbreaker? Track him down, catch him, put him to death? And that is precisely what the religious and political leaders did with this lawbreaker of whom I speak, Jesus of Nazareth. He was a lawbreaker. Well, he broke the physical laws, the natural laws, the laws on which the whole universe depends. He turned water into wine. With a little bit of bread and a few fish, he fed 5,000 people. He healed the sick long before there were antibiotics and hospitals and surgeries. He walked on water. He calmed a storm at sea. He rose from the dead, for crying out loud. He broke the physical laws, the laws of the universe. Only the power of Almighty God could do that. And that, of course, is precisely the point. In the New Testament, the word semeion, the word that we translate as miracle, literally means a sign. The miracles of the New Testament are signs, signs of the power of Almighty God in Jesus the Christ, Almighty God breaking into this world. But this morning, I'm not so concerned about the breaking of the physical laws, as incredible as that is. My concern is with the moral law. Jesus broke the moral law. Yes, there is a moral law. In fact, it's as real as the physical laws of the universe. Now, to be sure, there are human-made moral laws. Benfield Road, the speed limit in some places is 40, some places it's 35. That's a human law. We can make that law. We can adjust and change that law as we wish. But I am absolutely convinced that there is a moral law that is not of human origin, that comes from beyond ourselves, that comes from the power of God. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I do not believe for a moment that those are human-made laws. Why would humans come up with a law about adultery? I mean, what's so wrong about consenting adults doing what they want to do? Who cares? Who cares if somebody bears false witness against a neighbor? Go ahead, put them down, slander them, tell a falsehood. As long as that advances you and gets you ahead, what's so wrong with that? Those aren't human laws, I don't believe. They're laws that come from beyond ourselves, from God. But the point is this, whether it's human laws or whether it's a law from God, there is a moral law. And Jesus broke it. There was a law that was hundreds of years old, goes back way back in the Old Testament. In fact, this particular law goes back to the Code of Hammurabi 4,000 years ago. Jesus broke it. I want you to hear this law. It's printed in the Bible. It's in the book of Exodus. Listen to this. This is the law. You shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. The Romans called it the lex talionis, the law of the tooth. It was a law about retribution, about getting even. And getting even was the emphasis behind the law. You could legally get even with somebody. If they broke your arm, you could break their arm legally. Sounds harsh, but that was actually a humane law. It limited retribution. If somebody stole a loaf of bread, you could exact a loaf of bread in return, but you couldn't go and burn down their house. It limited retribution, but it was retribution. It was getting even. It was the law for thousands of years. And today we still practice it, don't we? Don't we want to get even. Not only want to get even, but oh, we delight in plotting and scheming and planning how we're going to get even with that dirty son of a gun that did us wrong. We're going to get even with him or her. It was the law. And along comes the lawbreaker. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. If someone sues you and takes away your coat, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go also a second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who would borrow from you. This lawbreaker, Jesus, does not speak of retribution. He does not speak of getting even. Rather, he brings grace. Grace that is not deserved. Love that is not expected. Forgiveness that goes beyond any expectation of forgiveness. He offers it freely, and in so doing, he conveys to us that the mighty God, God Almighty, the God who can break the physical law at his will if he so chooses, that God loves, welcomes you, wants you to come into his kingdom, loves you unconditionally, loves you despite your sin, despite your greed, despite your lust, despite your hardness of heart, despite your pettiness, despite your refusal to be gracious to others. He loves you. He has a purpose for you to come into his service and follow him. Indeed, he loves you so much. He wants you to be part of an eternal kingdom and live with him in eternal splendor. And it's by grace. It's all by grace and not by law. And not only does this lawbreaker talk about it, he does it, puts it into practice. That was the whole point of the passage from Scripture that Nicole read a few moments ago. Jesus is teaching in the temple. Pharisees come in. They have a woman they're bringing in. They got stones in their hands. Because you see, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Get that now. She's been caught in the act. There's no question about guilt here. No question about guilt. She's guilty. So they have stones in their hands. What are we going to do with her? The law of Moses says, stone her to death. And Jesus gets down on his knees, takes his finger, and he begins to write in the dust, in the sand, in the dirt. Begins to write. Now, the biblical scholars have a field day with this passage because, you see, the Bible does not tell us what he's writing. We don't know. And the biblical scholars love to speculate. What is he writing? Many of the biblical scholars say, nothing in particular. Maybe just doodling. What he's doing is buying time. Because you see, this is a trick question. It's designed to get Jesus. If Jesus says, yeah, stone her to death, he's violating Roman law. Because in Roman law only, a Roman court could convict somebody to death. If he says, don't stone her, then he's violating the biblical law, the law of Moses. Either way, he loses. It's a no-win question, and so maybe the scholars are right. Jesus is buying time. He's just doodling in the dirt. But I don't think so. I love the answer that is offered by one of the great theologians of all time, Søren Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard says what Jesus is doing is writing down the crime. Like a crafty, strict old judge, he's writing down the crime in all its sordid and ugly detail. Now, actually in the New Testament, the Greek word that is given to write down is katagraphein. Usually the word to write is graphein, or graphic word comes from that. But this is katagraphein, to write against. So I think Kierkegaard's right. Jesus is writing against. He is writing down the crime, all its ugly details. He's writing it down. And then Kierkegaard said, Jesus took his hand and he wiped it out. He erased it in the dirt. He stood up. Let whoever is without sin among you cast the first stone. And there was silence. Silence. The only sound was the thud of falling stones. Where are they, woman? Does no one condemn you? No one, sir. Then neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. Sheer grace, sheer mercy, sheer pardon, undeserved, unconditional. But notice Jesus does not gloss over the sin or pretend it never happened. He says, go and sin no more. Let your life be transformed and changed. You see, adultery really is a sin. It's not a sin of sex. It's a sin against the family. Adultery destroys those precious intimate ties that hold a husband and wife together and tends to destroy a family. It tends to ruin a family and break it apart. Don't ever fall into that trap. Be the master of your sexuality. Don't let your sexuality be the master of you. Adultery can leave a hurt, can pain, a scar. And you know scars don't go away. Scars don't go away, do they? Think of whatever in your life, of anything in the past that has been a scar on your life. It's still there, isn't it? It's amazing to me that in Jesus' resurrection, when he's meeting with the disciples, there are still scars in his hands. You'd think, resurrected Jesus, the scars would be all gone. No, they're there. The scars are there. But by the grace and power of Almighty God, even a scarred person can be raised to new life. By the grace and power of Almighty God, you with all your scars can be raised to new life. By the grace and power of Almighty God, you, no matter what hurt or scars you have placed in someone else, you can be raised to new life. Life in Christ. And because we are forgiven freely, we are called to forgive freely of others and not to hold a grudge. In Iran, there are people who are called the moral police. Now, the moral police go around and they look for women who don't have the proper head covering on. They look for men who are not obeying the strict demands of Sharia law. And they find these people, they arrest them. That's Iran. Nowhere in the teachings of Jesus is anybody appointed to be moral police. And I want to assure you that none of us are appointed to be moral police. None of us are called to be judgmental against our neighbor. Indeed, Jesus says, do not judge lest you be judged by the same judgment. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to seek revenge. Instead, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Nowhere in the teachings of Jesus does it say, do not forgive. Indeed, it says, forgive. Not once or twice or seven times, but 70 times, seven times if need be. We're called to new life, transformed life. In Jesus Christ. Jesus broke the law. But in breaking the law, he sets before us a higher standard, a higher righteousness, a standard not of this world, but of God and of God's kingdom, of love and joy and peace. Oh, they tried to kill him. They arrested him. They nailed him to a cross, they buried him in a tomb and put a big rock in front of the opening. but by the power of God, scars and all, he arose from the dead, and he lives forevermore, and he is at loose in our world today. Believe it. Hear it. Accept the grace that is freely given to you. Accept the pardon and the forgiveness of Christ in your life. And whatever grudge, whatever hatred, whatever anger is still brewing deep within you, just let it go. Drop it and let it go. Hear the good news. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. And to that, let the only sound be the thud of falling stones. So be it. Amen.